evening, everyone. So we want to pick up essentially from where we left off last week. Last week we went through the Seder Yerusha, the order that the Torah prescribes for a person's estate to go when he departs from this world. And we started discussing the Dinim of Bechor. What is the halachas of when there's a firstborn who qualifies as a Bechor, natural birth, firstborn to the father. And we said that the din is that the Bechor gets Pishnai and the Bechor gets a double portion. So we left off by defining or explaining from what assets does the Bechor get Pishnayim. And the basic rule is that Ein HaBechor Notel Pishnayim B'ro'i K'B'Muchzak, which means the Bechor receives a double portion of what's called Muchzak. Muchzak means that which is in the father's possession at the time that he departs from the world. That which he had with him, his firstborn son gets a double portion, but that which is called ro'i, that which is going to come to him, it's ro'i. Ro'i means something that's it's meant to be or it's going to be, but he's going to get it, but he doesn't have it yet. The Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. So I'll give you two two of the main examples. Let's say an individual loaned money to somebody else in his lifetime. He lent the person $100,000. And then the man is nifter. The man passes away. So the din is that the one who borrowed the money owes the money to the Yarshim, to the Yoresh or Yarshim, whoever inherits this man. But since it's at that time it was not in his possession, it was lent out, so when he pays it back, even if the man had, let's say, two sons, one's a Bechor, one's not, they don't split it two-thirds, one-third, like they do the rest of his assets. They split it 50-50. That's called ro'i. It's not called muchzak. It's something which he doesn't have in his possession. When he dies, when it returns to his possession, it's split evenly amongst his sons. Even though there's a Bechor, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. That's one example.
That's like a bank account.
Oh, we'll get to that right away. Okay, just two main examples. The second main example is the case of a Yerusha that he himself receives. Let's say a man passes away, and at the time, and he leaves over a couple of boys, one's a Bechor and others are not, and he still has a father. So, in other words, we gave the case last week, there's Yitzchak, he has a son Yaakov, and Yaakov has two sons, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben is a Bechor, Shimon is not. So, while Yitzchak is still living, Yaakov passes away. Yaakov passes away, and his property goes down to his children, two parts to Reuben, one part to Shimon. But then when Yitzchak, the grandfather, passes away, his Yerusha goes down to his son, Yaakov, who's not living, so it passes down to his children. So they split it 50-50. They don't split it. The Bechor, Reuben and Shimon split the Yerusha that comes to them now from their grandfather Yitzchak through their deceased father Yaakov. They split 50-50, not two-thirds, one-third, because the din is, again, that's called ro'i. It was not in Yaakov's possession when he died. It didn't belong to him yet. It still belonged to his father. So his children, when they get it, his sons, when they get it, they split it evenly. Okay, so the question was asked, so what about money in the bank? Money in the bank. What is the din of how is money in the bank split when there's a Bechor? So I think on first glance, like the knee-jerk answer, people who didn't learn the halacha would say, well, money in the bank, that's my money, I just deposit in the bank, so why shouldn't the Bechor get Pishnayim? And let's say a person gave money to somebody else to watch for him, right? He didn't lend it to somebody else. He gave a friend of his. He has some cash or whatever it is, or he has whatever it may be. He gave his car. He went out of town and he left his car in somebody else's possession just to do me a favor, watch my car for me. I'm not lending it to you. I'm just asking you to watch it for me, and the man is asking his friend to watch it. And then the man, unfortunately, was out of town. He expires. He dies. So his car was being watched by somebody else, but when that car is split up by his children, if there's a Bechor, the Bechor gets a double portion because it was only being watched by somebody else. The same thing of his money. He gave somebody else money to watch for him. Hold on, I'm going out of town. I tend to keep some money in my house. I like to keep $10,000 cash in my house. but I don't want to leave it lying around in my house when I'm going out of town. Can you do me a favor? Guard this money for me. Watch your money for you. A good friend of mine, he's willing to watch my money for you. Not borrowing it. He can't use it. I didn't give him the right to use it. Just to watch it. So he's watching the $10,000. If the owner of the $10,000 dies when he's out of town, then the man who's watching the money returns it now to the Yarshim. They split it, the Bechor gets a double portion because he was only watching the money. So you'd say, so what's the bank doing? They're also watching my money. But the answer is no, because you know when you put your money in the bank, you're really loaning it to the bank. That's how, you know, banks operate, that's how they make money. They're borrowing your money and they have every right to spend your money. They have to return it upon demand, and it's insured and all that, but it's still a loan. They're able to return upon demand because they have, you know, they deal with so much money. And actually, there's a limit, right? You can't walk into your bank and ask for $2 million in cash on the spot, I don't think. I never tried it. But I think there's some limit to how much you could demand on the spot, actually. But whatever it is, you know, even though for most people it might be all the money they have at the bank they can demand on the spot, even so, it's still considered a loan. So therefore, it's the almost all poskim. So one poskim disagrees, but the main consensus of poskim is that money that's in the bank, at least talking about banks in America, where, as I said, whether it's a Jewish bank or let's take a stand, a non-Jewish bank, I have my money with a non-Jewish bank, they're borrowing my money, and therefore, when a person passes away, all the money he has in the bank is split by his son. If he has sons, even if one's a Bechor, it doesn't make a difference, they split it evenly. The Bechor does not get Pishnayim, because that's like a loan. Now, the question is, let's say the money was in the hands of a Jewish bank, whether it's in America or in Eretz Yisrael, that's the standard, of course. So by a Jewish bank, it's not a simple loan. It's like going back to the end of the couple of last weeks of Hilchos Ribbis that we learned. When you put your money in a Jewish bank, you do it with a Heter Iska, because you're typically getting some benefits, you're very likely getting some benefits. And in ancient, the banks work with a Heter Iska because everything that they... that you give them, like if you borrow money from the bank, you obviously have to do it through a heter iska. So Jewish banks work from banks, I mean, or banks that want to cooperate with the halacha, work with a heter iska. So with heter iska, we learned really the standard iska is it's considered 50% of the money is considered a loan, and the other 50% is considered a pikadon. It's considered my money, which they are just watching for me and investing for me. A number of poskim say, and we heard a shir in when I was in Chicago, a certain rav, one of the yeshivas in Mir, I forget his name, but he said a psak from Rav Yashiv that if a person has money in the bank in Israel or in any Jewish bank when he dies, so 50% of the money that he has deposited in the bank is split. It's split evenly amongst his sons, because 50% of it is a loan, and the other 50% is a pikadon. That's not split evenly. That goes two parts to his bechor and one part to each of his non-bechor sons.
So in the case of an investment account, that you're not lending the money, you actually open an account and they buy securities with your money. I don't know if they also get a loan on your money. Maybe they use leverage.
Good. So to be honest, there are a lot of variations within securities and discussion about stocks and all sorts of things, exactly how to classify that and whether that's considered Raya or Muchsuk. And if a person, you know, the situation arose, one would have to inquire exactly and discuss someone who's knowledgeable in both in the halacha and in the business part of it, in the Mili Da'amad, knowing exactly exactly how to classify. For example, stocks, some say that stocks, I saw in the Rabbi Marburger's Kuntris, I believe he brought that, according to the Pesachah, Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe Legabe, certain things that a stockholder, as we mentioned this in Hilchos Ribbis as well, a stockholder is not considered to really be an owner of a company. He's just considered to have some sort of, you know, shares that give him the rights to profits. But since he's not really an owner in the company, so again, that's simply would be understood that would be considered also Ro'i. That wouldn't be Muchsik, that would be Ro'i, because he doesn't have anything. He has the rights, the profits, that, of course, money that he already collected. If he already cashed in, then of course, then that's in his possession. But unless he put it in the bank. But that which he hasn't cashed in on yet, that's simply that would be considered Roe. But there's a lot of shiloh with various with government bonds and different things. They even talk about what about cash? What about the guy's $100 bill? $100 bill, that's not money per se. It's really just a shtar. It's just a bond that I have a right to collect $100 in gold from the U.S. Treasury, but it's not.
Not anymore.
Okay. Once upon a time, okay. But the Pesukim say no. But that's called we consider that money. We deal with it like money, even though the little green piece of paper which says 100 on it, it has no inherent value more than the piece that says $1 or $5 and anything. They're all worth, you know, nothing. I mean, just the paper's not worth very much at all. But since it's considered, it's treated as, in today's world, that is called cash, so that's considered muksuk, money that he has in his possession, in his pocket, or in his house, not in the bank, but he has actually in his hand. That is considered muksuk, that is his, and it's divided 2/3, 1/3. Okay, so there's some, this is something to keep in mind, this concept, and there might be other, you know, variations of stuff which would require a definition if it's considered roi or is considered muhsak. Okay, now, but I was just saying, I'm sorry, I wanted to complete, but when it comes to the heter iska, I said Rabbi Yashiv Sak, there are those who say differently. The Sefer Pisrei Choshen, for example, Rabbi Pisrei Choshen, he views all the money in the bank, even in a Jewish bank, same as a non-Jewish bank, he views it all in halach as roi, even though technically speaking, it's a half of it is a pikadon. But it's a pikadon which is meant for them to go spend and to go use, and it's not dealt with differently than the money that's lent. In his opinion, he writes that he feels that all the money in the bank, even in a Jewish bank, even under a heter iska, is considered roi. It's not considered muhsak, and the bchar would not be get pishnayim.
Wait, roi means that
he doesn't have it. The deceased didn't have it.
He doesn't have.
Muchzik means muchzik. Oh. It's under his chazaka. So he says it's all right. You might be technically speaking half of it. They're only watching for you, but they're watching you with the understanding that they're going to spend it and they're going to use it. And there's no there's a practical difference when it comes to if the bank defaults. So how much would they owe? You know, theoretically, but there's no practical difference in how they deal with it and how they work with it. And therefore, he says it's all right. But as I mentioned, though, we heard Pesach from Blyashim, not like that. And I saw others say not like that. That no, the half is a pikadon is a pikadon, and half of it is muhsak, half of it they split 2/3, 1/3, and the other half 50-50.
So the deceased had something like a diamond or something. How would that work with a bachor getting?
He does, or it doubles the value. I mean, they don't necessarily split it. he owns, assuming he had it in his bank vault or he had it in his house, then sure, he would get 2/3 of the value. Now, by the way, money in a bank vault, that's for sure, muhsak. It's just like keeping it in a safe deposit box or in a vault or something. Just because it's in the bank building doesn't mean it's already roy. That's just the way I'm storing it there. They didn't lend it to the bank. They can't touch it. They have no right to touch it, even if they have a key to all the vaults. But that's just, you know, for whatever technical reasons. But they have no right to my stuff in my vault or in my safe deposit box. So that's considered. That was your question. You asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, so that would be considered muhsuk, and of course they would split that 2/3, 1/3, and same thing with the diamond or anything of that sort. Okay, now, there's a little bit more about Bechor, but it's intertwined. So I want to go back. The question was asked last week about an Uber, right? A non-born child in terms of Yerusha. So, for example, a man passes away and he has, unfortunately, he was young at the time. He left over two sons and his wife was expecting. And so obviously, if she gives birth to a girl, there's nothing to talk about. The two sons inherit everything. It's irrelevant. But let's say she gives birth to a boy. So at the time that he passed away, she was expecting. There was no third child. There was an Uber. There was a child on the way. So is an Uber Yoresh, like a living child, or does he not? So it's interesting. Now, remember, it's not clear in Shulchan Aruch, and I'll mention there's a sefer called the Maisa Beistin by Rav Mordechai Toledano, where in Chelik and Choshe Mishpat, he may have more than one Chelik by now, I just know one Chelik, which I believe is at least the first Chelik he put out, Choshe Mishpat Simen Tes Zayin, he has a whole shayla about this, a situation where a man passed away and it was no gay a car, and his wife was expecting, it was no gay a splitting up a car, and he goes into this whole area, this whole issue of whether an Uber Yarshins or not. There seem to be almost contradictory indications from the Shulchan Aruch. In one place, the Shulchan Aruch says, a katan ben yom echad yorish. He just has to be one day old, and he's a regular Yorish, implying that, but he has to be one day old. And if he's not born yet, the implication of that phrase is that he's not Yorish. On the other hand, it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch that a Uber is not memai the chelik bechora. An Uber doesn't diminish the chelik of the bechor. Meaning to say, if a man passes away and he has, let's say he had two sons and his wife is expecting, and his wife gave birth to a boy, so now they may be at the point where they're dividing up, or where at the point where they're asking the Shiloh, there were three boys. So the halacha is that if one, from the two boys that were living, one was a bechor. So the halacha is when the chelik bechor that the older one gets is not affected, for sure not affected by the uber, which means we divide everything up 50-50, and the bechor takes 50%. Then it seems that the uber comes into the picture, and now the other 50% we divide three ways. Right, again. So when the man died, he had two sons, Bechor and Pashut. Later, a third son is born. So now we said the third, when it comes to the Chelet Bechor, the third son is not in the picture because he wasn't born yet. Ein ha'uber memayit b'chelet Bechor. So we divide, so the Chelet Bechor is 50%. Right, 50% because we look at it, not 50%, 33%, sorry. There were two boys living, so the chelik b'chor would be 33%, right? Because normally you just add one number. If there, whatever number of boys there are, you add one number, and you give the b'chor two parts, and everyone else one. So if there would be no uber, if there would be no uber in the picture, the two boys, you would divide it up into three pieces, give the b'chor two pieces, two portions, two-thirds, and the push is one-third. But now there's an uber. So we still divide it up initially into three parts, and we give the b'chor one, not two of the thirds, one third, because we give him his chelik b'chora, so we give him one third, but we don't give him the other third. Now the other two thirds we divide three ways. Now that there's a third boy born, so the other two thirds, which is the non-b'chor part of it, that we divide three ways. Okay, so that's what it means, that the uber doesn't diminish from the chelik b'chor. Rather than dividing everything up into four pieces and giving him only 50%, we don't do that. We divide everything up into three pieces. We give him 33% off the top, and then the other 33% we split three ways. So it comes out, just if you know, it comes out that the off the top, the Bechor gets one third, right? One third, which is 3/9. He gets 3/9. Then the other 2/3, just 6/9, we divide three ways. 2/9, 2/9, and 2/9. So the Bechor ends up getting 3/9 plus 2, which is 5/9, and each of the other boys get 2/9. 2, 5, 2, and 2, which is 9/9. So the Bechor walks away at the end of that case with 5/9 of the Yerusha, which is more than 50%, right? Okay. Now, so it says that the Bechor is not memayit the chelik of the, I mean, the uber is not memayit the chelik of the Bechor. It sounds like, but he does Yarshin. So on the one hand, it says a one-day-old Yarshin. Sounds like not an uber. On the other hand, it says he's not memayit the chelik of the Bechor. It sounds like he does Yarshin. So that seems to be the din that he does Yarshin. He, of course, doesn't take away from the Bechor part, but he does Yarshin. So that, for example, the case I just gave you now with the two boys and then the third one's born. So it ends up getting divided up 5/9, 5, 2, and 2. But let's say there was only one boy. Let's say when a man passed away, he left over one son, and his wife was expecting, and she gave birth to a boy. So the question is, does, if there's only one boy, does he get a chelik b'chor? In other words, let's go back. Let's say there's no uber. A man dies, and he left over one son. That's it. His wife's not expecting. One son, finished. So when he obviously gets everything. But why does he get everything? Does he just get everything because there's no shalom? But Bechor is only when it's the question of two or more. He's the Bechor compared to Pashut. He just gets everything because he's the only son. Or no, does he get everything because he's the Bechor? So first we divide it into two parts, and we give him 50% as the Bechor, and then we give him the other 50% because he's the only one left. So he ends up with the same 100%, but in Lumbus is a Shail. Is he getting it, part of it as a Bechor, or he's getting it all because he's just, there's no Bechor because there's nobody else? Nafkamina, this case, because in this case, at the time that the man died, there was just him, but then later there's another boy. So if we're going to say that he's the Bechor, now the uber is not memayit the chelik Bechor, right? So we will say that when, just a second, right. Okay. So if we're going to say that he's a Bechor, so then we will divide everything into two parts, and we'll give him 50% right away because that's his chelik Bechor. Two parts because There's only one boy, but that one boy gets part of it as a bechor. One boy right now, vis-a-vis bechor halachas, right? There's only one boy. We don't count the Uber. So we give him, we divide it to two parts because we always, in order to do the bechor chesh, we add one and give the bechor two. So we divide it, into two parts, and he gets divided into two parts. He gets 50% off the bat, 50% off the bat as a bechor, 50% of the yirush is his, and then the other 50% will divide equally when his other brother is born.
So he gets 75%.
Right. If we say he's a bechor, right? If we say he's a bechor, but his brother doesn't affect the bechor portion, he gets 75%. But if we say he's not a bechor, he's just, there's no bechor because when his father died, there was no bechor. So then is a shaila: do we divide it? Do we say that he gets? It's 50-50.
But we have a bechor when he was there because they have to pay, for example, pidyon haben, no? That means that he was a bechor.
Yeah, but pidyon haben has nothing to do with hilchas yerusha. It's two separate things. Let's say maybe we didn't necessarily do a pidyon haben. Maybe they're a kohen. Maybe they're levium. Maybe the mother that gave birth to him had a previous child. He's only bechor. Not in the pidyon haben. We want to see a bechor legabe yerusha. So if he's not a Bechor Gabi Yerusha, so then the question is, then do we just divide it 50-50? He gets 50, and his brother gets... Again, if he's a Bechor, he gets 3/4, and his brother gets 1/4. If he's not a Bechor, so then there's still a Shaila. Do we say, okay, he's not a Bechor, and the one of the brothers born 50-50? Or do we say, no, when the brother's born, if we're going to first split it up when the brother's born, now he's a Bechor. Because now there are two boys. So he gets 2/3, 1/3. Right? He definitely doesn't get 3/4. If you look at it that he's a Bechor when his father died, even though there was no other boy, then he gets 3/4. But if you look at it now, when his father died, there's no Bechor. So then the only time there's a Bechor is when the other boy is born. So the question is it 50-50 because we divide it up as soon as the father died, and at that point, he's still not a Bechor? Or do we only divide it up when the other boy is born? Now he's a Bechor, so now we divide it up 2/3, 1/3. So that's a Shiloh that he has in the Sefer, how you would divide it up. And okay.
What was his conclusion?
He doesn't conclude. I think he brings one person's opinion, this one person's opinion, that. You know, if these things come up, they'd have to go to a Beis Din that would decide. Okay. Now, what's certain is that there's a first halacha that a bechor that is born after the father's death is not a bechor, meaning. We'll get to that. For example, if a man passed away and his wife was expecting, he had no children yet.
Is he the only child anyway?
No, let's say she's expecting twins. She gives birth to two boys. Man passed away, his wife's expecting, and she gives birth to twin boys. Or maybe he was married to two wives, and they were both expecting. And he passed away, and they both gave birth to boys. So now they both yarshin, but one's a bechor, one's not. Right, by the way, which one's the bechor if he has two wives? Or which one's the bechor?
Ben Asnua.
Sorry?
The Ben Asnua.
Possibly, but hopefully there's no snu and hoover there. The bechor is the one that's born first, meaning not the one that was conceived first. Even if you know for sure that one was conceived first, but he ends up being the other one who was conceived second is born first. He gets the bechor. It's a famous vart in the Sefer Mishulchan Hagra, which is attributed to the Vilna Gaon, that says the opposite based on that parish of Snu and Ahuva. But there's a whole tumult about it. They say it's impossible and it can't be true, and there's an etziv, and a lot of rates. An interesting thing to look in parish of Kisetse and say for Pnina Mishulchan Hagra. The bottom line, halacha, is that whoever's born first is the Bechor. Okay, so for sure, though, a Bechor. But that's only, it's only Nogea, and if the man is living. If the man passes away before the boys are born, then there's no Bechor. A Bechor has to be born in the man's lifetime, otherwise not. So again, the case of the man died and left over a wife who's expecting twins, and she gave birth to twin boys, they divided 50-50, there's no Bechor. But more than that, even if the man is not cognizant, he has no Hakara, when his Bechor is born, let's say he's a Goses. At the time,
he
Goses means the person is near death. Technical definition is within 3 days of death. But it means he's near death, and he's already, let's just, you know, out. He's in a coma, for example. He's totally not cognizant of anything around him. And then his wife gives birth to a baby boy. He's still alive, 100% alive. If a person would kill him, God forbid, they'd be chayv misa. He's still alive, but he's not cognizant. He has no hakara. Then the Bechor doesn't have a din of a Bechor. His wife gave birth to twin boys. There's no din Bechor. Why? Because the pasuk says, ki, and again over there, by ki es a Bechor ben hasnua yakir Lasis lo pishnayim. The pasuk says, ki yaseh b'char ben zo yakir, he has to be makir him. If he can't be makir him, then there's no din pishnayim. Maybe this is part of the din of, I said last week, chukas mishpat. There are chukim and mishpatim in Yerusha. This may be part of the chukim. Okay, so that's the case of Shulchan Aruch, when the man was a goses. But nowadays, the what about if the man was, let's say he was in a coma, let's say he was intubated or something, in a coma, maybe not for 3 days, but for 6 months, God forbid, whatever it is, and then he passed away. If he eventually came to, and had hakara, then there would be a bechor. Then he doesn't have to be a bar hakara when the boy is born. He becomes a bar hakara, then he could be yakir afterwards. But we're talking about, let's say he was in a coma or he was intubated and he lasted away for 6 months and then he passed away. He never was cognizant when his children were born. So that's a shaila in the poskim. Do we say that as well? Then we saw the sefer Minchas Pitim, who was an achron from the 150 years ago, Remeir Arik. He clears about if a man's blind. Say a man's blind and he lives 120 years and he has 10 kids and the first one is a bechor. Is he a bechor or not? Because there's no yakir. He can't see him. He clears, is that a chasar in yakir, the fact that he can't see his son?
Who's yakir at definition?
Yakir to recognize, like.
Shota, same thing.
The chara shota would be mamish.
Recognized by feeling.
Not yet. So, in the case of the blind person. Mm. Yeah, so the Milchas Pitan comes out that there is Yakir because he read the Gemara. The Gemara asks the question, how is a blind man allowed to be intimate with his wife? How does he know it's his wife? Maybe it's another lady. Who? Maybe it's a married woman. Maybe it's his sister. Maybe. So he says, the Gemara says it's called Tzvias Eina Dekala. He can tell by the voice. So he says that's enough too. Like similar to you saying, he says he can hear him. Not that he knew his, but he has hakara. In other words, he's a bar hakara. He's a bar hakara. He recognizes things. He has some, you know, not. He doesn't have normal hakara of vision, but he has the hakara of other ways. So he says that case yes. But if a person's in a coma or the other cases, it's very possible that the yakar wouldn't apply. This is a shaila in some of the contemporary poskim. Well, you know, where it's considered yakar, where it's not. Okay, fine. Okay, so that really brings us to the conclusion of the basic din of the Seder Yerusha, plus the din Bechar, having hopefully clarified to the extent that we could the din of where an Uber fits in. Now the shaila is like this. This is all if a person dies and, like I said, did nothing. He did nothing to reroot his property. The question is, what is the, can a person reroot his property? How does he root his property? And should he reroot? Is it mutter? Is it possible? Is it recommended? Or you know, etc. So to begin with, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, Chashem Mishpat, Simen Reish Pei Bei Sif Aleph, which says, this is the Lashon Shulchan Aruch, Kol Hanosei Nechasav La'acherim, anyone who gives his property over to others, V'hiniach HaYarshim, and leaves the Yarshim out, cuts the Yarshim out, Af Al Pi She'en HaYarshim Noagin Bo Keshura, even though the Yarshim, don't treat him properly. There's a reason why he did it. He didn't do it because he's mean or because he's crazy. Ein ha-Yarshim no'agim bo'kishura. Rachman al-Tzan, his children treat him terribly. Rachman al-Tzan, he doesn't get along with his children at all. His sons, they treat him horribly. So he decides, okay, well, I'm not leaving over my fortunes to them. So he cuts them out. Ein, says the Shulchan Aruch, even if that's the case, ein ruach hachamim no'chehimenu. The Ein Ruach, meaning he's considered to have done a wrong thing. It's not, the Chacham don't look at this in a, they frown upon it, and we'll define more. V'zachu Acherim b'chal mashenasen, but nevertheless, the Acherim azocha, whatever you get them. Meaning, assuming he did it the right way, and that's going to be a whole discussion, what is the proper way to do it? How could it be done? But if he did it the right way, see, this is Reish Pei Beis, is right after, you want to guess? Reish Pei Aleph, right. It's right after Reish Pei Aleph. Reish Pei Aleph is all about the halachas of how to give over Yerusha. It's an interesting thing, because Shulchan Aruch first gives a whole siman of how you can give, what is the halachically effective way of giving over Yerusha. And then after all that, the siman Reish Pei Bei says, by the way, if you give over Yerusha and you leave out your Yarshim, it's a wrong thing to do, but it works. So first of all, the many Mefarshim say that Ein Ruach HaNochemen is not just a slap in the face or on the wrist, whatever. Not a nice thing to do. You shouldn't have done it. No, it's more than that. It's Mamashin Isser. And they declare, this is a discussion, the Steichem and others, there might be Mamashin Isser Daraisa. So it's definitely, many say it's an isser, even though the usual Russian Ruchama Noche Menu, but it's not meant to say, it's not really the right thing to do, but all right, you know, we understand where you're coming from. No, it's an isser to do, and maybe even this is deraisa. Now, and more than that, even though the Gemara talks about Bonov, a person who reroots, that his, he has sons who were supposed to yarsh, and he reroots it from them. So some posts can clarify, well, maybe it's only if it's sons. Maybe if he has no sons, and let's say he has no children altogether, so the Yerusha is going to go to, his father's not living, he's going to go to his brothers, or maybe his brothers aren't living, he's going to go to his nephew, or maybe not even his nephew. Like I said, maybe he's going to have to go up to his grandfather and then down to a great-nephew. No, no, the Lashon Shulchan Aruch is even then. He says, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, hiniach banav. It says, hiniach hayarshim mashma, whoever they are. Whoever the yarshim are, it's wrong to cut them out of the Yerusha. That's what many Madaik from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch who use that, use those Lashonos. Now, the question, however, is what does that mean? Does that mean, is it all or nothing? Mean, are we saying he can't give away one penny? If you want to fulfill what it says in Shulchan Aruch, everything's got to go to the Yarshim? Or perhaps not, maybe it just, perhaps it just means he niach Yarshim. Kanosi in the chasid means he gives everything, gives, reroots everything to others, and he leaves the Yarshim out. He totally cuts out the Yarshim or one or more of the Yarshim. Maybe not all of them, but maybe only there. And that's what many poskim say. It's only if the person reroots, either reroots the entire amount, or he completely cuts out one of the people who should yarsh them. For example, he has three sons, and he's very upset with one of his sons. One of his sons he never gets along with, and his son is disrespectful for him, to him. B'chul, b'chul, b'chul. So he says, you know, I'm leaving him out, and he cuts him out entirely. That would be part of this isser. It would be, it's usher to do that, even though he doesn't act properly to his father, it's usher to do that. But if he leaves something to him, he doesn't completely root him out, then there's a way that it would be mamish mutter, that it would be okay, and it would not be considered ein ruach chachamim noche hemenu. Sorry? Okay, so that's the big shaila. How much? How much does he have to leave over to be yotze the din that he acted properly, and it's not considered ein ruach chachamim noche hemenu? So, there, it doesn't say before Shulchan Aruch, but there's a bal ha'itur, which is quoted by many of the poskim. Just one second. Right, so it's quoted by many of the poskim, and the Ktzos HaChoshen, Reish Pei Beis, Sifka and Beis, brings from the Tash Beitz, who explains on the Bala Itter, to say that the shear is Dalid Zuzi, four Zuzim. Okay, four Zuzim, so that's your answer, four Zuzim. So what does that mean? What does that mean to us? Four Zuzim. And so, very big discussion. What does that mean, four Zuzim, in today's terms? How? What is that? How much is that?
Very so, little.
Well, possibly very little.
Two Zuzim Chagagin, so it's double that. It's enough for two
Chagagins. Okay. I mean, I think, you know, the guy Chagagin might have gotten a bargain. You don't know.
I see it.
So there's a big discussion here. Rav Moshe Tzal in one tshuva looks at it like it's a percentage. It's not a set amount. It's a percentage of the person's Yerusha. So in one tshuva, Rav Moshe writes that if a person will leave over 20% of his inheritance to the Yarshim, sounds like to all the Yarshim, 20% to divide it, be amongst divided into the Yarshim, and the rest he wants to do other things with, he's okay. Then he's fine. He's Yotze. This iter. But now, by the way, not all the poskim go with this bali iter, but it is widely used. It is widely accepted that if you can leave over dala zuzi, anything else you do with them, what you do with the rest of the money is okay, especially if you do appropriate things, especially if you have good reasons. There are people, especially if, as we'll see soon, well, let's mention it right now, there's a reason to bedavka give other people, other family members, such as daughters, such as a wife, and there's a reason to give money perhaps other places. So when there's valid reasons to do it, so even so, okay, but you can't take everything and do it with it, because that says, you know, in Rucham Nochemenu. But says Rav Moshe, if he leaves over, he says, no matter what the Yerusha is, whether it's a large Yerusha or a small Yerusha, 20% of the Yerusha would be considered already Dal Zuzi, and the other 80% he could do other appropriate things with.
How is 20% being Masmir Dal Zuzi?
So I don't know if he's in Masbrit or he's just coming off of that. And he's saying that it's obviously not a huge amount. It was something chashuv. So Moshe is saying 20% of Yerusha is chashuv, whatever it is, in relative terms. That's what he says. There isn't a lot of explanation there, but that's what Moshe says there. The Pesachei Choshen also, I think, looks at it as, or at least declares the Pasuk as a percentage. In another tshuva, Moshe doesn't say that. In another tshuva, and this tshuva is dated in Kislev Tavshin Chavav, which is 1965-66. And there Moshe says, if he leaves over $1,000 to each Yoresh, then it's for sure, that's more than Dalai Zuzi, he says. That's where he said. He said, $1,000 in today's money is for sure more than Dalai Zuzi. I think you would agree with that, right? I mean, you can get more, well, I don't know, could you get more than two kids, get goats for it?
I think you get a lot.
No.
Okay, my
clock
is
it.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, you can.
Okay, but that was in 65, yeah. In 1965. Well, in 1965, I want to know how
much. Yes, for sure, you can buy more than two goats. Yes.
I know the friend, couple of friends.
All right, Chad Gadget was that, is really that source. Kalpana, Ramesha writes in the Tshuva 1965-66 that if the man will leave over $1,000 to each Yorish, he says that's more than Dalai Zuzi and his Yotzeh. Others, Claire, I've seen numbers $5,000, you know, more recent years, $10,000. There is no clear amount. So if a person wants setting up a will, he should discuss it with, I guess first stop would be the Rav he normally discusses his Shilas with. And if that Rav is, you know, not comfortable answering himself, or he'll, you know, guide him to somebody who he feels he could, and discuss it with whoever he consults with about what he should do lemaisa about this. What would be considered Dalai Zuzi? Okay.
I guess I'm saying it's not really practical, but I wonder if Moshe, if a person only has, like, say, $2,000 and two children, so he should not be giving away any other money besides those.
No, again, this is one petitshuva. He could be talking to this, you know, maybe this person had plenty of money. So he's telling him, okay, maybe a person doesn't have $1,000, then he would say, well, of course not. If his whole Yerusha is only, much less. But in that tshuva, he just said, but the point is, he's saying that tshuva didn't work with the percentage. For that, he wasn't working percentage, he was saying $1,000. That's all he says there. He doesn't say less than $1,000. He said $1,000 is definitely more than Dalai Zuzi. That's what it says in that tshuva.
Question is, if the father dies on Sunday, and by the time they sold their house, let's say, so there was gain in the property, so the gain itself, that's also been divided?
Yes. For sure. The question is, so that's a whole sugya from the Atzmo. Okay, that's a whole sugya, which... Good question, excellent question, and it's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. It's a whole sugya about how to divide appreciation. But then, not planning going into, but it could be looked up. There's no, it's in Shulchan Aruch. Now what I want to say is like this. Lemaisa, so step number one is many poskim say that if you go with the Tesh Beis and you leave over whatever you'll determine, whatever the Rav will determine for you is Dalai Zuzi, then you're doing nothing wrong. It's fine. Not only doing nothing wrong, but it's even the right thing to do. Many say as follows. I brought two sources. Let me just read you first of all from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. This is in his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch. This is not what he did not write this line. This is from a line that's a quote that's beneath the line here in the Sefer, which means it's Mipi HaShmua. But nevertheless, I would like to read to you what it says here. It's in Simen Reish Pei Beis in the Bizman Hazeh, Hanochon Vahayoshar. It is proper and correct. Lahashir Chelik Hogun, to leave a significant portion Gamla Benosov to his daughters as well. The Ain Bozemisha Mavra Chasante. He doesn't get into here Dalai Zuzi, not that just Abel Bivada Yakpit Shechelik Hogun, you sure Gamla Bonim, but make sure the Bonim also get Chelik Hogun. Okay, that's Rabbi Yaakov. In the Sefer, Gesher Hachayim, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukasinski, it's a famous classic Sefer in Hilchos Avelos, but at the end of the first parak, he talks a little bit about Yerusha, and he says there that it is very appropriate. First he says, V'hayos sheminaga olam hula hashir gam labanos, since it is common practice, it is widely done to leave to daughters, v'hu gam chok hamedina, because if you don't do anything, the secular law will give something to the girl. They don't favor boys over girls, at least not in this country. Mi she'ein of berosho, mehadir lahashir b'tzavasu gam labas. a person who's thinking ahead will make sure to leave a tzava, a halachic leave out tzava, which will include his daughter or daughters. First of all, chad Hashem minig kaveya halacha. That's the minig. And minig kaveya halacha, this is a couple of times, sheinis, so that she shouldn't end up taking it in michok ha-memshala, shalokidin, and it shouldn't come li riv, umachlokes, etc. And he says like this. And he says if he didn't do it, the son should see to it to make sure to give us a significant amount of doors. But anyway, like that. He says, he knows of a case, he says, Talmid Chacham Asher Echad, a wealthy Talmid Chacham, Asa Maisa, Vehinchu Betzava, as Kol Rechusho, Rak Al Pi HaTorah. He followed the exact Seidei Rusha, what we talked about last week, LeBechor KeBechoraso, Uleshnei Banav HaPshut and KePshutem. The Bechor got double, and each of the Pasha got single. Uleshlosh has been Nosev, three daughters, apparently he had three boys, three girls, Shlosh Ben Nosev, Lo Klum. And he says, Im Ki, even though the Bechor was a wealthy individual, and not a Talmid Chacham, and one of his sons was Ani, the Talmud Chacham Mitzuyan, was a significant Talmud Chacham who could use the money a lot more than the Bechor. The Gam Chasanov, his sons-in-law were Yodei Torah. So, but he didn't do that. He said, the Torah says this way, he let it go over the way Torah. The Hinchel Sina V'Tachros U'Pirud B'Mashachto. What he left over was Sina, animosity, Tachros, you know, jealousy or competition, Pirud, division, B'mishpachto ad asher amru habrios shelo kedai haylo lahasher rechush ulahor sinah. It would be better if he would have died penniless rather than leaving over his money in a way that it just created tremendous machlokes. The gam rabbanim lozu alav. The rabbanim spoke ill about him. Amru shat tamid chachav shakach es divrei hayirushalmi. He forgot the Yerushalmi. What's Yerushalmi? Yavamis reish perikid beis minag mevatel halacha. And the minig is to include the girls. So it's pretty stark, I'd say, that not to feel that, this is what it says in the Torah, I want things to go like the Torah. Now, there is a possibility, and the Pesach Chosin mentioned this, he said he heard this about, the clock there is later than this clock, so we'll have that in a second, but there is, if a person knows for sure that his sons will do exactly what he wants, and he tells them, look, I don't want to divert from the Torah. I want it to go over to my Yerushim. I don't want to rely on the Tashbates. I want you, my dear sons, to get everything. But please, when you get the money, divide it with your daughters equally or whatever. Divide it with your sisters. Divide it with your sisters like this and this. And he knows they'll do it? Okay, if he knew they would do it. And he brings a Maisa Pesach, a Gadol Echad who did this. I heard about one of the Gadolim of this country who did that in the sons, of course. But most people cannot rely on that and should not rely on that. And and therefore they have to take some measures to make sure it happens. So Hashem will come back next week, hopefully, to how to do it, what are the measures, and to some other possibilities of where perhaps one should channel some of his money.